Welcome to The Connected Life. The Connected Life with hosts Travis and Carrie Fry is all about helping you live a more connected life. They want you more connected to God, self, spouse, family, community, and to the world at large. It is their belief that the more connected you are, the holier and healthier you will be. So stay tuned to The Connected Life with your hosts Travis and Carrie Fry as they explore all facets of what it means to live the connected life.
Welcome to The Connected Life, a ministry of Crossroads Counseling on Family Values Radio, 1010 KXXT. I'm your host, Christian Counselor Travis Fry, joined by my wife and co-host, Carrie Fry.
We are a husband and wife team that together combine our training in both psychology and theology and our real-life experience to bring you The Connected Life.
The Connected Life is all about intimately connecting with and loving both God and others. So first of all, happy Halloween.
Yay.
Yeah. Be safe as you go out and maybe trick or treat or whatever your family does. Happy Halloween. And since it's Halloween, this topic is very appropriate. We're talking about fear, right?
Yeah.
A little spooktacular.
And getting over fear and being courageous. So
absolutely.
It works.
Yes. So past couple of weeks, we've been talking about fear cycles. What is a fear cycle? Simply put, a fear cycle is a negative pattern that starts to take root in your marriage when fear takes root in your marriage, when you don't feel safe, you don't feel emotionally connected, when negative emotions like loneliness and sadness and hurt and rejection and abandonment, they all start to build up. And when you don't really have that way of stepping out of the fear and reaching out in what we would call a cycle of grace, and there's some specific components of that we are going to go into.
Right. So there are three different fear cycles. There was the fight, where you're both engaging one another in arguments, fighting. It can get ugly sometimes. It's you're both going at it head on.
It's like a boxing match.
Right, boxing match. So there's fight, flight, and this one is when one is chasing the other around the circle. One's fighting and attacking someone, the other one's running. So mm-hmm. I think of the cartoon image where there's a dog and a cat going in a circle and wearing a circle in the carpet or the dirt, you know, and they just keep going in a circle, and one's running and one's chasing. That's the fight-flight. And then the third was the flight-flight. And that's when they're going in two different directions. There's not much of an image because they're not really connecting. And you were saying that they basically, oftentimes this is when they've given up and they are already on their way to disconnecting and not in... there's
just
no hope.
Right. Hopelessness, helplessness has settled in. It's usually characterized by a lot of distance. And oftentimes, if there's no intervention, if there's no, like, maybe counseling, right, meeting with your pastor, if there's no intervention, that will oftentimes signal the demise of the marriage.
Yeah.
Right? It's like you're on the precipice of separation, divorce, those types of things. And so with all of these cycles, we had talked about the common denominator in all of them is that at the root, there's these deep feelings of hurt and sadness, loneliness, but above all, there is fear. And we talked about the two universal fears of rejection and abandonment. And as I've worked with a lot of couples, Carrie, interestingly, when you kind of get down to the nuts and bolts of everything, women tend to identify more with that sense of abandonment.
Hmm.
I'm alone. He doesn't care. He's not there for me. It's like I'm dying here. I always feel shut out. Whereas men tend to identify more with that feeling of rejection.
Hmm.
It's never quite enough. Can never make her happy. She's never satisfied. Can never get it right. It's like I'm not good enough kind of a feeling. And those two experiences, or those two emotions of rejection and abandonment, very, very universal. I mean, we all experience that.
Right.
I think at the core, we all have that a fear that we are going to be rejected or abandoned. Some
right.
of us have experienced that big time. Others have not. But we can all have, if we're not rooted and secure in our relationships and insecure in who we are in Christ, it's very easy to fall into those feelings of rejection or those feelings of abandonment.
Right.
And so at the root of all of these fear cycles that Carrie just mentioned is that fear. And I really believe that Satan's tool or weapon of choice is fear, right? His goal is to come and kill, steal, and destroy. And that includes marriage and happiness and joy as well. And so this is absolutely one of his major field or major weapons against us. So let's talk about what to do and give our listeners some steps that if they are experiencing these types of fear cycles in their marriage, these are the things that they can do to start to replace those fear cycles with more of a grace cycle.
Right. Okay. So we came up with five different ways where you can create a new cycle. A risk, reach, respond was one way to describe it, or the grace cycle. So the first one was identify your pattern.
Right. So to get to a place of creating a grace cycle, which has those components of risking, taking the risk means I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. I'm going to move past my defensive stance. I'm going to open up and share with you right now that I'm feeling afraid, that I feel alone or scared. I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to reach out to you. That's the risk, right? The reaching is turning in a soft and vulnerable way and letting your spouse see, like really see you, not just the external defensive part of you, right? But the real you. And of course, the responding part of the grace cycle is, I'm here, right? I see you. I love you. There is grace. I'm meeting you right where you are. And so the very first step in doing this, like you said, Carrie, is to identify that pattern. You know, we had talked about how couples can do all three, fight, fight or flight, or flight. Couples
it
can
all
do all three.
The same.
Well, hopefully I'm enunciating well
right,
enough,
yeah.
Right? But usually couples have one typical pattern that they fall into. And as we've described them, and as you've been listening, my question to you is what is the pattern that you, that's the most prominent in your marriage, in your relationship? What are the behaviors that you tend to do within that pattern? Do you tend to get more critical? Do you tend to kind of lash out? Or maybe you're more on the other side where you tend to stonewall, which is just as bad as, you know, getting critical and blaming, right? Just as destructive, I should say. Do you tend to walk away, you know, and just tune that other person out? And so you want to identify your pattern, and you also want to look at how you are contributing to your spouse's emotions and behaviors and actions.
What's their contributing to their pattern, their side of the pattern?
Well, how you're contributing to the pattern as a whole.
Right.
And how you, so Carrie, when I shut down, I recognize that tends to make you frustrated and angry.
Right.
You don't feel heard. You don't feel understood. You don't feel like I'm engaged with you and I'm listening to you. Right?
Right.
So I recognize that when I shut down, although you're ultimately responsible for those reactions and behaviors, I recognize that I play a role in that.
Right.
Right? And then when you get upset and you get angry with me, this is just an example, right? You recognizing that, oh, that also plays a role in my closing off and shutting down.
Right.
Right? So we have to recognize how we shape our partner's reactions and emotions and feelings. Right? It doesn't occur in a vacuum. We are connected whether we like to admit that or not, right? We are interconnected, is what I'm trying to say. So identify the pattern, identify your specific role in that pattern, take ownership of your own behaviors, your own emotions. That's really the first step.
Okay, so the second step would be to slow down. Just taking a step back and slowing down and letting your emotions happen. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds easy, but it's really difficult, right? Because when you're in the heat of the moment or the argument, emotions happen really fast. It's our survival instinct. They happen in nanoseconds. It's the fight or flight response that we all have. So if that truck is coming down the road, I'm going to move out of the way extremely fast because I want to live. Mm-hmm. Right? And so when we're in that argument and that fight with our spouse, instead of just reacting, the whole concept here of slowing down is taking a step away from the kind of the knee-jerk reaction or the default responses that we all do, and then asking yourself, okay, I'm feeling angry, I'm feeling upset here. What's really going on? Like, what is the deeper emotion?
I this makes me think also with our children. I think all right, I'll go back another step.
Sure.
When you slow down, I think it's easier to identify the feelings that you're having. So when you're starting into a confrontation with a partner, right? You're going to have a lot of emotions going through, and you may not even know what they are. But if you're slowing down, you're able to kind of identify it, like, okay, I'm getting really angry here, but this is rooted in feeling like I'm being abandoned or
right.
this or that, you know. So you can kind of take a deep breath and see that. I think that makes me think of how a lot of times you'll see different children parenting books now that are saying, okay, when you're talking to your children, teaching them the names of the different emotions they have. Okay, how are you feeling? You must feel angry. You must feel sad about that. And I think that a lot of that, you know, most of us didn't get that when we were kids. But
right.
it is a healthy thing to do with your children, to be able to be identify what emotions that we're going through. And this is one of those things that would be a practical application of that in the future.
Absolutely. Right. And so when we're talking about the fear cycle, it's identifying your pattern, knowing how you guys get stuck, and then it's slowing down the automatic knee-jerk kind of response of or reaction of that pattern. So slowing down your emotional reaction allows you time, just like you were talking about in this example with our kids, right? It just allows you time to choose your response instead of just reacting.
Okay. Right. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Connected Life Radio with Travis and Carrie Fry on Family Values Radio 1010 KXXT. If you want to learn more about The Connected Life, you can visit us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/The Connected Life. And if you're looking for counseling help, give us a call at 623-680-3486. And you can check out our website at counselingphoenixscottsdale.com. So we've talked about the different steps you can take. First was identify the pattern.
Right.
What is your pattern in your relationship?
Right.
Then slowing it down would be number two. And then number three would be take the elevator down. Travis, can you explain that one?
Yeah. So once you've called out the cycle or you've identified your pattern and you're getting better at slowing down those automatic reactions or behaviors, Now is the time to move from those defensive reactions and defensive emotions and move into or take the elevator down into the deeper emotions.
So you're going back to what are the root emotions versus I'm annoyed.
Right.
To, this is sadness, this is rejection.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So sometimes it may genuinely be annoyance. Other times, though, especially when the argument's heated, right, there's a lot of intensity surrounding it. Usually that signals that there's something deeper connected
right.
to it. So it could be hurt. It could be sadness. Of course, the all-encompassing emotion is fear. It also could be loneliness, right? Whatever that deeper emotion is, right? So the goal is to identify your pattern, really start to take control of it instead of it taking control over you. You know, that pattern, the cycle, the fear cycle can often be like a tornado that just comes in and like spins you guys around and, you know, spits you out. We're trying to reverse that. So slow it down and then take the elevator down. Ask yourself the question, what am I really feeling here? And then go beyond that and ask yourself the question, I wonder what my wife or my husband is experiencing in this moment. What I'm seeing is anger, right? Or what I'm hearing is complaining, but I'm wondering what's going on a deeper level for him or for her.
Okay. I keep thinking about the toilet seat example.
you're just going to go
I'm going to bring it back to the toilet. So I think about, well, a lot of us women get frustrated about the toilet seat being left up.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, we will get a little too emotional about, okay, it's just a toilet seat. It's not a big deal, right? But I mean, it's happening over and over again. You might get... So I think for an example would be if you're getting really emotional about something like that, you say, okay, is it just about the toilet seat? Is this about wanting a clean house? Or going down would be by saying, well, maybe this is not necessarily I'm just worried about the toilet seat. It's more, okay, I've said this a million times and he hasn't listened to me yet and he must not really care.
He doesn't care. Right?
Yeah, he doesn't care. And if he doesn't care about me and he's not listening for these little things, then what is, you know, does he really care about me at all? And that's when it's kind of, you're digging into what is the emotion of
right.
that. And then you can think going on the other side, well, he might be feeling like I'm attacking him over these little things and I'm rejecting that he, the other things that he does that are, might be more important aren't valuable and you know, being able to see both sides of it.
Yeah, so it's looking beyond the surface,
mm-hmm.
right? We're arguing about a toilet seat left up or the you know, tissue being placed one way when I think it should be placed, you know, instead of from the top, it should become from the bottom, right? But there's meaning that we attach to those types of circumstances. And oftentimes the meaning could be negative, like, well, he doesn't care, I don't
right.
matter, like he never listens, right? So
right.
Good point, I like that.
Okay, so number four would be to speak from your heart. So you identify the pattern, you slow it down to identify your emotions, you take the elevator down, trying to get to the heart of what is the base emotion and what is your partner feeling.
Right.
And then four would be speak from your heart.
Correct. So to create this grace cycle, that which has these components of risking out, reaching, and responding, you speak from your heart. So your job as the speaker is, now that you've identified the real emotion that has been fueling the reactivity, it's time to take that risk, turn to your spouse, and share your deeper emotion. And I would also add the need that you have in that moment. So you're in the role of speaker, right? You're going to take that risk, which for most of us can be a very scary thing because we're being vulnerable. We're stepping out into something that's unknown.
Right.
most people that I talk about when we talk about reaching out like this, they always come back to, or not always, but a lot of times they come back to, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how he's going to respond. I don't know what she's going to do.
Right.
My experience has been, she's negative, she's mean, she's going to hurt me. My experience is, he's not there for me. I can't rely on him. I'm gonna take the risk and reach out, and I'm gonna be left alone. He's gonna abandon me in that situation. So we all have that sense of what's going to happen.
Right.
And so when we start speaking from our heart, we're taking that risk, we're reaching out, we're pushing past that fear that's keeping us stuck and isolated.
Right. It's taking that it's making that sacrifice of being willing to endure the pain and the discomfort in order to reach out and get that connection that we need and your spouse needs as well.
Right. Right. And so you take the risk, you reach out. With every risk, there's always the potential for reward. And, you know, this probably leads us to our fifth point here.
The fifth point,
yeah,
I guess that was my cue. The fifth point is listen from your heart.
Right.
Listen to what your heart is saying and listen to what your partner's heart is.
Right.
What is he saying to you or she?
Right. So we have the speaker who's taken the risk and reaching out. And then we have the listener, right? So your job as the listener is to respond to your spouse's deeper emotions and needs. Most of the time when we hear and see someone that we love is really hurting, our natural response is to want to connect. If we show defensiveness, usually the other person's going to meet us with defensiveness, right? If we show love or vulnerability, most of the time people lean into that, right? Now, there's absolutely times where there's discomfort and feelings of, I don't know how to be there when someone's really hurting,
right?
We can work through that, right? But as the listener, your goal is to really just connect and be there. And this is what I like to say, especially to guys who get caught up on being perfect. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be emotionally present.
Yeah,
you have to show
important.
Up emotionally,
mm-hmm.
right? And then I want to say one last thing about steps 4 and 5 here. It's meant to be reciprocal. And so you both take turns being the speaker and the listener. It's not enough just for one person to be the vulnerable one and reaching out and the other one's comforting. The comforter will also need times where they need to be comforted.
Right.
Right? And it needs to be reciprocal. And so this message, I think, is primarily to guys in that they too need to be taking the risks and reaching out and turning to their wives for comfort and for care when they're afraid, when they're hurt, when they need reassurance mm-hmm. and care.
So it takes practice to get there, I think, especially for guys, because a lot of times, even more so for men than women, when you're kids, you were told, oh, don't cry, suck it up, walk it off.
Right.
And there wasn't a, oh, are you sad? What's the emotion that's going on? So it's harder for a man to figure out what they're feeling. They've been taught to ignore it and trained well to ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's good for women and wives to remember while we're going through this cycle, is that, okay, do have a little patience, have a little grace. He may be slower at this than you are. And it's okay as long as he keeps trying.
So to create that grace cycle, identify your pattern, slow it down, take the elevator down, speak from your heart, and listen from your heart. Finally, if you want to connect with us, you can do so by going to our website at counselingphoenixscottsdale.com or calling us at 623-680-3486. Have a happy Halloween, and remember, get connected and stay connected, Arizona.